This is a download from RTE Lyric FM. To find out more, go to rte.ie/lyricfm.
American scriptwriter and podcaster Rob Long has a theory about what's going on in Hollywood right now, what with all the interest in zombies and The Walking Dead. The entertainment industry, he suggests, is just a zombie that doesn't know it's dead yet. Long's vision chimes with cries from directors such as George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, who recently predicted cinema going will soon turn into a rare treat, akin to going to a Broadway musical. The gloominess has a number of apparent causes, but the key is the rise of net video and the entry into the game of Netflix with the Kevin Spacey series House of Cards and now shopping site Amazon, both new producers who are wedded neither to cinema nor television. I asked our regular tech correspondent Aisling Kelleher at her desk in Carnegie Mellon University if the industry is really switching to a diet of brains.
I think it's fascinating what has happened here, not only in, of course, bringing Kevin Spacey back to our screens, which is wonderful, and this is definitely a glass half full technology for us. I think it's fascinating in terms of how Netflix went about creating this and how they really thought about optimizing the data that they have about their consumers, and they could kind of create a completely optimized creative experience for their consumers that had the actors that they wanted in it, the directors that they would most likely probably want to see directing those actors, the type of content that would most fervently grip them, and not only that, giving them complete freedom in how they could actually watch it. I think this is what was phenomenal about what they were doing here with House of Cards. This idea of like, here's all 13 episodes in one day. Knock yourself out. Ring in sick. Stay home. Watch them all. Promote what you want. Share what you want. So they were really thinking about how can we best create a series that will garner us the most kind of public positive opinion.
As you suggest there, this is probably the first algorithmic, in the sense of algorithmic trading, this is probably the first algorithmic television show.
I think it could be fascinating because you begin to think down the line, will we constantly use people's data to begin to see how popularity is measured? So maybe People magazine saying you're the sexiest person alive is just not going to fly anymore if it doesn't compute with the data of what it is that people are watching. Maybe it is people are just watching Jonah Hill movies and saying, hey, sexy or no sexy, this is what we want to watch. So I think that sense of getting this true data that Netflix has is not only that you started watching the movie, but that you actually watched it the whole way through, and then maybe you later on you go and you blog about it, or you talk about it, or you recommend it, or you accept recommendations. This data-driven approach to understanding what consumers want really brings us way beyond what we've had with traditional, say, television, where, you know, we have Nielsen ratings, which are used to kind of govern and dictate advertising costs. So, but they, you know, I'm like, who knows anybody who had a Nielsen indicator in their home? It just seemed very, it's a small sample set, and it's not necessarily representative at a high level of fidelity to what the population is looking at. Now at Netflix, we have this one-to-one mapping between this family, or possibly this group of people who share an account in the family, what it is that they watch, what are they interested in, and that you can develop this quite sophisticated understanding of what a household is interested in looking at, or a particular city or a particular country. And this, I think, has got extraordinary potential in terms of creating very localized content or very, very general content that will broadly appeal to the biggest group of people.
As you hint there, the other thing that happens is, it, obviously, we've found out that people who like Kevin Spacey would watch something directed by David Fincher. But the other thing that's really a break from linear television is this thing of releasing the box set all at once. Sometimes I wonder, is that kind of socially pernicious? Because it really does kind of lure people irresistibly into long periods of inactivity.
And that would be bad because, I mean, that sounds fine. I think some of the things that it could be tricky for, this idea of like spoiler alerts, okay? So if you're, you know, if you're like a busy, typical person, you don't have 13 hours to sit down and watch them all in a row, nor do you want to read reviews of them. So it actually brings up a whole host of questions of like how people can even write about these episodes, what they've seen, when other people might be far ahead of you or far behind. But I think this idea of allowing people to consume the content in whatever way they want, at their will, that people appreciate this about not having to wait you know, 6 months down the line or 8 months down the line to get it all. And I think we'll see this model replicated more and more, or even variations on that. So for example, Amazon have taken a different kind of plot or different approach to thinking about how their consumers can be part of the decision-making process. So recently they just put up a whole bunch of different pilots, 14 episodes of a bunch of different pilots, and allowed the public, or those who have access to Amazon accounts, to vote on which ones they would like to see developed. And that they would like to see more of. And based on that, they've created, they've kind of launched or given the go ahead for five of these shows. What was very intriguing with how they went about this, it wasn't just at the level of like, oh, I like this one. So getting people to say, I like that actor, like John Goodman is in one of them, like just keep clicking like. They were also looking at, did people watch the whole pilot episode the whole way through? Did they then share it? Did they talk about it? Did they try and encourage other people to do it? So looking at the data and the metrics in this more nuanced way, allow them to make these decisions about the five pilots, their two comedies and three children's shows that they're going to kind of bring to fruition. So this sense of, this is something that with network TV or typical cable TV, the general public has never really been part of that decision-making process or the kind of the creative thinking process behind this is the type of thing we'd like to see, please fund it.
The other aspect you touched on there was this idea that it kind of destroys the social element of television. And I refer you to the sketch show Portlandia, which has a sort of typical Portland dinner party where nobody can actually complete a sentence because the next couple at the table don't want to hear what happened in series four of Breaking Bad. And so conversation is kind of brought to a halt because we've all created these kind of different timelines for our lives that are mutually exclusive.
I think the challenge would be that sense of the spoiler alert or just having to speak about things in such a vague way or possibly preempt your dinner party with clear understood rules about what people have seen so far, what's safe to discuss, what's not. And maybe we should all just go back to talking about, you know, great expectations, because at least we all know what happens in the end. Or do we? Because there was an alternative ending to that too. So maybe we'll start seeing a lot of advice columns in the paper for how to deal with this. I can imagine the social and ethical dilemmas of trying to keep conversation going, or how to deal with couples who are kind of slightly off kilter in their viewing habits.
Aisling Kelleher there, and if you'd like to be kept abreast of the forthcoming zombie apocalypse, you can follow Culturefile on Twitter. That's at CulturefilePod.
Thanks for downloading from RTE Lyric FM. To find out more, go to rte.ie/lyricfm.